time now for a presentation. And we have two people involved here, one whom we're very familiar with and one whom we're not. Glenna Ottenbright-Born is a part-time physiotherapist and full-time mom. She and her husband, Weibo, are founding members of GLC. She'll tell you what GLC is. She enjoys building community and cooking and eating food, which are all the same thing in her opinion. Our second presenter, or co-presenter, I guess we would say, is Sherry Adams-Sellinger. She lives in Regina with her husband and three children, where she can be found homeschooling, knitting, sewing, gardening, and experimenting with various food preservation methods. She joined GLC. It's spelled out here for me, but I'm not going to say. In November of 2014, after being drawn to its vision of an earth-friendly homesteading lifestyle shared with friends with similar values. So I'll ask these two to come up now and tell us all about it.
Thank you for welcoming us here today. Again, my name is Sherry Adams-Sellinger, and Glenn and I are members of GLC, or Goldenrod Land Cooperative. And we're here to share with you who we are, the process that we've gone through so far to create a community, including what started us down this path, what we've done so far, and where we hope to be headed to in the future. So Goldenrod Land Cooperative is a group of people who wish to build a rural community that values social connections and sustainability, as opposed to communities of convenience that we currently experience. We'll talk a little bit more later about what exactly that means. We're four members right now who have been meeting regularly to create our co-op, and we have the goal of building community within our cooperative and within the larger area that we live in. We want to live sustainably, and we want to care for the earth. Along that line, our vision is to be a working circle of friends, thriving through the care of the land that provides for family and community. And our mission statement is to create a neighborhood-scale community where people live, work, and have fun together, to live a low-impact life that meets our needs with as little harm to the earth as possible, to deepen our connections, learn, grow, and inspire others, and to create and maintain a refuge for our community now and in the future. As I mentioned, we have four full members, and Jim has already introduced me as much as I was going to introduce myself, so I will take this time with the mic to introduce my husband as well. He's over in there in the back if he'd like to wave or something. Thanks for that. Maybe wave again, because people just kind of turned after. Okay. So he's, to give a little bit of background about him, he's trained as an engineer, and he manages a group of 40 employees that are committed to keeping boilers and pressure vessels and amusement rides and elevators safely operating in Saskatchewan. And when he's not doing that, he can be found volunteering with our local Cub Scout group, the Outdoor Hockey League, and Biathlon Regina. And he decided to join Goldenrod Land Co-op, not just because I dragged him along behind me, but also because he had an observation that he saw more people wanting to get into homesteading, but he saw them doing it alone, kind of almost for fear of public failure or public humiliation if they didn't succeed. But then he also thought, well, if you don't know what you're doing and you're doing it on your own, chances are you might fail anyway, and instead of, you know, coming together with people and trying to make it successful. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Glenna.
So you know me, or Jim's introduced me, and the other half of my family, the other half. I don't know, maybe one of the kids is actually the other half. They're pretty strong. But Weibo is my partner, and he's a father that cares about contributing to strong community that takes care of the earth and each other. He's also a teacher and has volunteered in various capacities with the Saskatchewan Teacher Federation, or STF. He's currently teaching grade 1-2 French immersion at Connaught and is a board member, a board director of the Income Continuance Plan with STF. It's probably very interesting, but whatever. He can get lost in the garden while tending his bees and his plants, which I've actually observed several times. So, how it all began. As with all things, it began around a kitchen table, because that's how all good things start, I think. So GLC, or Goldenrod Land Co-op, started as a couple of people sitting around a kitchen table and dreaming of a more fulfilling way of life. We had all recently read Sharon Astick's book, Depletion and Abundance, which I'm sure I've talked to several of you about, and we were just all feeling an urgency to make a change to become more self-sufficient. So began the decision to create a community of intention, of our own people in our own community, and to kind of build a family of sorts. Wendell Berry is quoted here, "A community is the mental and spiritual condition of knowing that the place is shared and that the people who share the place define and limit the possibilities of each other's lives. It is the knowledge that people have of each other, their concern for each other, their trust in each other, the freedom with which they come and go among themselves." So that was kind of a along our lines. So what is an intentional community? I'm sure some of you are aware of what intentional communities, I know, but we'll just, for clarity. An intentional community, as defined by Wikipedia, is a planned residential community designed from the start to have a high degree of social cohesion and teamwork. The members of an intentional community typically have a common social, political, and sometimes religious or spiritual vision and follow an alternative lifestyle, typically. They often share responsibilities and resources, and some examples of intentional communities you may have heard about are like co-housing communities, kibbutzim, eco-villages, ashrams, things like that. New members of an intentional community are generally selected by the community's existing membership rather than by a real estate agent or landowner. Okay, and this is not really a new idea. During the late 1800s, many agricultural settlements were formed to ease the establishment of the land. And we've had a previous speaker here speak about the bar colonists, that utopian society talk. The Dominion Land Acts in that early 1800s allowed associations of 10 or more settlers to group their houses together and to form a settlement. And some of those backgrounds were like, I was shocked, there were Jewish settlers and British settlers. I think that was like the Canaanite Manor, and Duke of Borth. Yeah, Cannington Manor, Duke of Boers, Mennonites, and like even up to today, we have like the Hutterite colonies that are kind of typical of that. Why an intentional community? Well, from our readings, we came to understand the enormity of the problem our society is currently facing and will continue to face in the future, which includes peak oil. Peak oil is going to decrease the availability of oil, but it will also cause a decrease in the availability of products that we need oil to either come to us or that need oil to be produced with. Another problem is drought. Drought in California, for instance, or drought in our own community. We experienced that this summer, right? Unsafe food practices put us all at risk, and there's been lots of meat and vegetable recalls we've had in the last couple years. Another problem is food security being uncertain, like with that peak oil problem, with the drought. You know, there's just possibly a shortage of what will be available to us. And things that we grow here but are processed elsewhere, which is ridiculous to me, but I won't start on that. There's also a loss of knowledge on how to grow and raise our own food, and limited knowledge on how to preserve it. And I think we've all heard of studies where children can't even recognize like certain vegetables and fruits that are pretty common to most of us, which, yeah. So that those people are really going to be in trouble if, you know, what their only things they can recognize are an apple, an orange, and a pear. Difficulty in creating community is another problem we see today in where we're living. People are very individual focused. We live very busy and separate lives. And even if we do have that want for community, people aren't necessarily near where we are living. You know, we have lots of internet kind of communities that people support, and gain support from, but that's not going to really help if the internet goes down. So why not urban? It's another question we've been asked. We've had a speaker here from Prairie Spruce Co-Housing, and I know I can talk for myself and Weibo that we did explore that option, but it didn't actually get all the things that we were wanting in a community. So the urban setting was limited due to regulations. Number one, they won't let us have chickens here, but we have bees, so... So like chickens or dwarf goats, things like that, there are urban communities that allow that, but ours doesn't. And potentially wanting to maybe get into more bigger animals, potentially a dairy cow, something like that. Totally wouldn't bring that up for the city, but, you know. Also, there's many distractions here in the city, right? We all have our individual home we have to care for. We all have our individual gardens we're caring for, our kids' activities, personal activities, our workplaces, and wanting to simplify that. Another limitation is the cost of organic food in the city. I mean, we can grow some, but there is a limitation to how much garden space you can actually accumulate and not have to drive all over the city to steal other people's garden spaces. You know, other people have offered us, but it's so hard to have to go all over the city if you were going to have other gardens to take care of. So that's another thing. The last thing about being in an urban center that wouldn't be conducive is that we are wanting to build skills that are needed for the future. So animal husbandry would be one. You know, we want to know how to raise a goat and a chicken and a whatever before it's really dire straits and we need to. Another thing is alternative building techniques. There's some limitations in the city, and we see that being a real value, using straw bale construction, earthship construction, cob construction, not necessarily for a house, but ovens, things like that. And also wanting to get into a bit of a larger scale food production, like how much could we really support our families? Like, could we grow enough for ourselves and maybe others? Let's pass it back to Jerry.
Okay, so as we sat back and we dreamed about what we thought the solution looked like, we came up with a list of what we wanted the intentional community to help us achieve. And we wanted it to help us reduce our environmental footprint. We wanted to provide a significant source of food for ourselves locally and others as well. We wanted to live in a community that encouraged interactions while also respecting individual needs for privacy. And we wanted more time to be out in nature and experience that feeling of being, you know, surrounded by nature and not just kind of looking at, you know, at a couple of trees over there, maybe. So when we looked at what we wanted and when we compared it to what was available in Regina, we concluded that a rural setting would be a better fit. And so when we kind of threw the net out a little bit further to find out what was around in rural Saskatchewan, we basically just didn't see anything that had really even gotten off the ground. There were, you know, dreams, but not, you know, the action, I guess, to get them going. So that led us to the conclusion that if this was something that we wanted to do, we'd need to start our own, and that's what we've done. So with that choice to create our community in hand, we faced another question. You know, it's one thing to say you want to start a community, and then it's another, you know, how are we actually going to do this? And we kind of faced, you know, a crossroads where we could jump in and buy some land and figure out the rest later, or we could figure out what it was going to look like and how we're going to work together and then buy the land. And so we've chosen the latter. And the process, I'll tell you, it's been slow and methodical, and perhaps maybe boring at times, you know, not quite the dreaming, but it's been necessary. So first we decided what kind of an organizational structure would work best for us. Would we just be a group of families? Would we be a partnership? Would we incorporate? Would we be a cooperative? would we be a for-profit, a non-profit, or something else? And after doing a lot of research, we decided on a non-profit cooperative. And we chose a cooperative because the one member, one vote nature aligned with our value of sharing and decision-making equally. We chose a nonprofit because we believe in the long-term nature of this co-op. We want it to be around when we no longer are, and we think that there are social benefits that go along with it. And we're really not in this to make money or a profit, so we think we meet the definition of a nonprofit a little bit better. So after writing up articles of incorporation and bylaws for our organization, we finally became incorporated in 2014. Next, we had to decide on our vision and our mission, and which we've already shared with you at the beginning of the presentation. And I must say, this was the easy part. It came together quite easily. So with that end state or carrot in front of us to guide us, we worked on figuring out the ground rules that we were going to kind of abide by for how we work together as a group. We decided to use a process of consensus for decision making. We've put together quite a few policies and agreements to help us ensure our choices as we go along are aligned with our vision and mission, and as well agreeing on kind of the behavior or how we're going to work together in writing before problems arise. And so to date, we have about 20 policies and agreements that cover everything for how we're going to manage conflict, what are the rights and requirements of membership, what are we going to do as we get older and as our parents age, how are we going to care for them when they are either wanting to join us or if they're in a different place from us, and you know, what are we going to do with our pets so that they're not nuisances. Kind of covers the whole gamut. We've considered and we've written down the characteristics we want the land to have that we're going to purchase, and we've done some business planning. So what are the steps now to get from where we are to where we want to be? How are we going to know if we've actually successfully done what we said we're going to do? And that elephant in the room sometimes is, how are we going to pay for all of these dreams? What's the cost? How are we actually going to raise money? And who are we going to do our business with? So at this point, we have a written business plan, and we've got processes for managing our money. We've selected a realtor to help us find land that meets our criteria, and we've been actively looking for land to purchase. And as we go along, we know there's still going to be some more policies and things like that that we're going to need to develop. So we've shared with you basically how we've gotten to where we are. And now we want to take you on a trip or a dream, I guess, along with us to look to what we want to be in a few years' time. So we want to develop a small rural community of 12 families within 2 hours of Regina, kind of where that little green dot is, give or take. That's kind of where we're looking. And we want to build that community of design that you saw earlier instead of a community of convenience. And what that means is, basically, we're imagining living together with like-minded, solution-driven people who wish to live lightly and care for the land, where each person in the community wishes to build strong relationships with all the other community members. And we spend our time together, both working and playing, but we're also balancing each individual's needs for privacy. And to help us build those strong relationships, our community is designed to encourage social interaction, including a shared community building, walkways instead of driveways, a cozy neighborhood design so you can see your neighbors, and shared meals so we spend more time together. That community design is also going to consider its inhabitants' interactions with nature and is going to be designed with permaculture principles and ethics in mind to lighten our impact on the earth and to help it heal. We imagine that we're able to sustainably grow and raise food to feed ourselves, and that we're going to be able to extend our food production into farm-based businesses like a CSA or a community support agriculture initiative. We picture ourselves living in sustainably built homes that consider their impact on the building site, their energy efficiency, their longevity, that they're healthy for the people who live in them, and that they're beautiful to look at as well. And we see ourselves sharing resources, like vehicles, equipment, tools to further encourage sustainable living. We probably don't need 20 hammers. We might be able to share 5 amongst us, is kind of what we're hoping for. And we see ourselves caring for the land through our community design and land management practices. And our ultimate goal is that we leave the land that we find healthier than when we started. Passing it back to Glenna.
All right. So, we wanted to talk about people getting involved, because it's lonely here with 4 of us. One of the important things, besides we're kind of, our goals are to build community and live sustainably and care for the land. So, to the end of the building community, there's 3 ways in which people can get involved with Goldenrod. The first of which is to become a member. That's a pretty big commitment, and it's not anything we'd expect people to commit to from like a presentation like this, just jumping right in. Our process is that we invite people to attend a meeting or two, and then to complete an expression of interest, which gives it's a series of questions to talk about what your experience with community is and maybe what your hopes for community are. And this helps us learn more about you and you to learn more about us, because then we share our expressions of interest as well. If you want to keep exploring membership from that point on, you'd become a prospective member, and that's usually a 6-month process, which allows people to feel each other out. You know, we feel how you fit in the group and you feel whether this group is good for you or not. If the decision is to become a member, there's 2 options there. A full member is the highest level of commitment. That's where you would probably reside on the community. That's the goal. And to lease land, potentially for non-residential use. You also have the right to make decisions as a full member with Goldenrod. We ask for an initial loan for full members of $10,000. And there's returning 2% interest on that, and a monthly membership fee of $150. And full members are expected to volunteer 30 hours a month. Associate members, that's for someone who is wanting to be involved but not wanting to live on the land and not worried about making decisions. But they still could lease land for non-residential use, so wanting a big garden or to put bees out or something. And that's a commitment of a $1,000 loan with a $25 monthly fee. And those members, the associate members, are expected to volunteer 15 hours a month. And just our meetings, that's like at least half of that. So, yeah. There's another option for people who aren't sure membership is for them. People can become supporters. And for a donation of time or money, supporters would be welcome to come to Goldenrod activities and to have camping privileges on the land at discounted rates. And lastly, there's investors for people who don't really want to be that closely involved, but you know, people who want to make an investment to support and develop innovative, sustainable community that inspires social change, to be part of the solution and support a new model of a healthier community or economy, to invest in a local ethical business committed to preserving the natural world, to get a steady and predictable return on an investment backed by real estate assets, and to invest in future generations. That's our hope too. An investment in Goldenrod may be a good fit for some individuals like that, and that's something we would be happy to talk with anyone who's interested on a one-to-one basis. So, what are we doing now to live our dream? Inviting others to join us is important, but it's also really important to us to keep our relationships with the people involved well and healthy. And our goal is to live sustainably and care for the earth as well. And to that end, some of the things we've been doing are we do work bees. We all shared each other's agony of cleaning out our community gardens this fall. It went a lot faster with like 2 families at it than 1. It was a lot less painful. We have regular meetings. We have monthly potlucks. Of course, there has to be food involved. Semi-annual group trips. Our last one, I guess, was Cypress Hills. We all went to Cypress Hills this summer, and prior to that, we had to Duck Mountain in the winter. And then we have small committee meetings as well. PR and land assessment, things like that. All right, now let Sherry finish off.
Right. We're living sustainably and caring for the earth right now by gardening both at our homes and in community garden plots. We're preserving food. We're beekeeping. We're sourcing the food that we can't grow on our own as locally as we possibly can. And we're finding ways to work together while we're still living in the city, which it was so important for us that we actually created a policy for this. We'd like to leave you with one final quote from Wendell Berry. He says, "So, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Give your approval to all that you cannot understand. Ask the questions that have no answers. Put your faith in 2 inches of hummus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Laugh. Be joyful though you've considered all the facts. Practice resurrection." And we chose to share this quote with you because we realize this sounds like a really large undertaking, and it might even be labeled crazy by some, but it's also been a very rewarding experience, and it's given us many, many, many opportunities to learn and to grow. And we move on with the comfort that we're building something larger than each of us could individually, and that's something valuable. We're joyful in sharing that idealism, and we're asking you to consider joining us. Just to wrap this up, I'd like to invite you to attend a potluck that we're having on November the 28th. There's details downstairs on a poster. You can sign up to be included on our email list so you can keep in check with all the happenings. And there's a clipboard downstairs with a sign-up sheet as well. You can like us on Facebook if you're a Facebook kind of person, and you can check out our website. So we've got cards downstairs with our contact information as well. So with that, we thought you might appreciate this. We chuckled when we saw it. Yeah. We will allow more than 5 questions, and we have not planted any, though, just for full disclosure. So with that, any questions?
They'll have the microphone.
Oh,
Jim
Bennett's
the microphone.
Okay. All righty. Well, go to the closest one here.
Thank you. Hi, that was very interesting. I'm just wondering if we have to, when you say you want about 12 families, do we have to have children in those families? Okay, thank you.
Nope. Thank you.
More adults without children means more people to look after ours.
Let's see. Okay, we'll swing around.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot the question I was going to ask. Come back to
me. Okay.
I wanted to ask a question about your meeting that you're going to have next week. Have you had others like that before?
Yes, we have. We had one, I think, in June, and we had another one about a month ago. And we've basically kind of covered some of this information, but also had more discussion about what community means to you, what it means to us, and answered a lot of questions about kind of what we intend it to look like.
And so I'm guessing that you will have other meetings coming in the next few months and down the road.
Yeah, we are also looking at changing things up a bit because we have had quite a few potlucks. We are looking at bringing in speakers who have, you know, fiddled with community as well, or have some information about permaculture or those kinds of things to kind of broaden, I guess, kind of what we're trying to bring to, you know, the larger community as well, because it's, you know, if I were to say intentional community to my family, they might not understand what I'm talking about. So we're kind of trying to spread information as well about what that is, and hey, we exist as well.
Do you have literature that, like, handouts? Do you have any here?
Yes, we have pamphlets downstairs as well. We've kind of taken over there was a table downstairs that said kids on it, and there was a ghetto blaster. We took half of it over, and so we've got lots of stuff down there.
Okay, now I'm already a member of a community-supported agriculture community, the Echo Farm at Hudson Bay.
Me too.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I just was wondering, I noticed that you said that you want, that's part of your definition of who you are. And I was just thinking about, is there a plan to maybe raise enough food to sell a little here and there and all that, that kind of thing?
That is definitely the hope, yep.
Not in year one.
Pardon?
No, she said not in year one. We'd basically be moving from like having to increase the scale in a manageable way from what we do right now. But it is the plan that we will be able to feed ourselves and other people.
Anyway, it's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
A number of years ago, we visited a Bruderhof for a week of our vacation, and that was an intentional community, and they built, everyone worked there, and they built beautiful toys that they supplied different organizations and schools, and I would say probably there were at least 25 families that lived in this huge house and worked there. Now, do you envision that you will all work in this area, or will you commute to your jobs around the community? What is there a step, or what would be your ultimate aim? And if your ultimate aim is that everyone works there, one of the things about the Bruderhof is at the end of a week, I already began to feel quite stifled. There weren't any plays, there weren't any beautiful music, there wasn't... Yes, so I'm sure that you have already thought about this. I would like your feelings.
Well, I think initially we all imagine that someone, at least one person per household, would have to live off the land or work off the land and commute to some place. It's part of the criteria in our land search is that we have some accessibility to a center where some of us can get jobs, like kind of at least one person per couple. Long term, I think the goal would be to be on the land and to work, but I don't think we actually have a vision to all have one big... I think a CSA would possibly be all-encompassing for everyone on the community, but then, for instance, a few people might do beekeeping, a few people might do... soap making, candle making. Some people might be doing, you know, workshops of preservation and jams and jellies. And so I don't think there's, besides the CSA, which would definitely need all hands on deck, including kids probably, I don't think we have a vision for one unifying business on the community.
Yeah, I'm wondering with growing children how it's worked getting them involved in the visioning and how they're feeling about it and whether they'd be homeschooled or join a local community school. And then I know one is very involved in dancing. Would she be able to, have options to keep up the sort of, you know, high level dancing that she's involved in?
We'll make, let you speak to them.
So I can speak for our family in terms of we have varying levels of enthusiasm for moving away, and I think we're noticing that as our kids get older, they become less enthusiastic. Part of the carrot at the end of the stick is animals. My kids adore animals and are looking forward to caring for them. They are more exciting than, say, the carrots that are growing in the ground. So I think they're looking forward to gathering eggs and that kind of thing. I would say in terms of education, I think that we're building choice into things. So there won't be a requirement that everyone homeschool or everyone, you know, go out, that we choose for our families what's best for us. Anything else to add?
I guess about the dance. That's something we haven't really... It's actually a bit of a contentious issue with Petra because she is gaining this these levels, and so I guess it's something that when the time comes we'd have to see if she could potentially do less classes a week and still be involved or something, but... And, you know, kids' ideas change. Like, she's 11 now, but when she's 13 or 14, she could have a knee injury tomorrow and never dance again. I don't want to say that. But, you know, like, you just never know. So we'll see. Hopefully she'll be able to.
And I guess the other thing is, if it's really important, then we build it. Right? So if my kids love going out to do camping with their Cub Scout group and there isn't a scout group where we are, then we build it, if it's that important.
We'll make this the last question, and you folks are going to go downstairs and hang out with us for a little while after.
Thank you. That is wonderful. And but I was thinking, because many, many years ago, I was part of the movie, and with this movie, about 20 minutes from Regina, and my question is, have you ever thought about buying a hamlet?
It's we've thought of it, and nothing has like popped up on the radar. I think because we have a real estate agent who's looking out for us and is knows what we're looking for, and I think she realizes we would be open to having something like that, and I don't think she's come across anything, and we haven't come across anything, but I do know that people have told us about those things, and some of them are just the ones that we have heard about. It's like right by an oil field, or it's like, okay.
This one is not this chair. It's everywhere.
All right. Well, we'll talk.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has really been an interesting and thought-provoking presentation. And you're right. We have heard presentations about intention communities before, and I think a lot of us are interested in even more so now.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.